Good morning. It's April 25th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio, as we live stream this worship here this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, and we are a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I am the Reverend Mark Gowan. I'm pastor here, and I'll be leading worship this morning. The Reverend Heather Hicks will be assisting in worship. We have Lynn Meyer playing the organ for us this morning, and Earl Linhart singing our hymns for us. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you to post a note on our Facebook page so we know you were here. And if you have questions about the church, you are welcome to contact us either through our Facebook page or by calling the church office at 614-882-3155. We are glad that you are worshiping with us. If you are watching this service live, you are invited to join your fellow worshipers at a Zoom coffee hour that begins immediately following the service. A link to the coffee hour has been posted on our Facebook page. Today we have several announcements to share. The flowers this morning are given by Mark and Kathy Gowan in memory of Kathy's parents, John and Marie Leslie, and my father, Lou Gowan. Construction on the new parking lot continues this week. If you stop by the church at all, please avoid the construction area and be careful around all that's going on here. Next week, we will resume in-person worship with a limited number of people in our sanctuary. Thus, we are instituting a reservation system. You can reserve a place in next Sunday's worship service here in the sanctuary by calling the church office Monday morning after 9:30 a.m. Reservations will be open until noon on Thursday or until our COVID level capacities has been met. And we thank you for your cooperation as we take little steps to begin the process of returning to worship here in the sanctuary. But we will continue to worship each Sunday and continue to live stream our services so that everyone can continue to attend the worship service. And now let us begin our worship as Lynn plays the prelude, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you. us be called to worship. Let the people enjoy our God. Let all the people enjoy the Lord God Almighty. Let all the people everywhere shout their happiness, because the Lord has blessed the earth and we have received God's benefits. Let all the people worship God. Let us pray. O God, may our thanksgiving be not merely routine, but spring from the deep, glad places of our hearts. May our prayers and words and songs ring with the honesty of confession, with the warmth of love, with the stubbornness of hope. Open our eyes to the holiness that is around us. Open our hearts to the God who is among us. Amen. Invite all of our young friends and young at heart friends to come closer, be a part of worship this morning. We celebrated something kind of fun this last week, Earth Day. And so I thought it might be kind of fun to do something about Earth Day. And when we think of Earth Day, we think of all kinds of things, cleaning up trash, planting trees and seeds and plants. And spring is a great time to do that. And seeds start off very, very small, just like us humans. We start off very, very small. And so I want us to get down. Can you, and even you who are young at heart, you can kind of curl up into a little ball if you want to as well. Because we start off as a seed, and we want to stretch and grow, right? So we need our basic needs, right? As a plant, plants need soil to grow in, but they also need nutrients and water and sunlight. And if we have those things, we can stretch a little bit and grow and get bigger. And so we get bigger and bigger as we grow. But when we get through the soil and we have the sunlight and we're getting the water, that's wonderful. But as time goes on, we need other things too. We still need to have nutrients. And out in the wild, nature provides those nutrients to us. God created the world so that plants would receive the nutrients that they need naturally. But when we're growing our own gardens, we have to tend the soil. We might need to put down some fertilizer or maybe some compost. Compost is a great fertilizer. Or we might need to dig around the roots a little bit so that the roots get a little bit of air, because as you put water on plants, the soil kind of sinks down and it gets really, really hard. Have you ever been trying to dig in your own gardens and it's really, really hard to dig? That's because that soil compresses. And so those plants need a little bit of air. We are a lot like those plants in that we need nutrients. We need fresh air. We need the sunshine. We need all of these things. And if we're not taking care of ourselves and taking care of one another, we're missing out on that, aren't we? And so we need to remember that when we are taking care of the earth, we are also taking care of ourselves. And here at church, we strive to take care of each other in all kinds of ways, mentally, physically, and spiritually, most important of all. And so as you guys are watching at home, or if you're coming in next week to rejoin us here for a live service, I hope that you will find that your roots, the roots of your faith, are being aerated and getting the nutrients that they need. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for the gift and the stories about sowers of seeds and growers of crops who share with us that our faith is very much like tending a garden, that we have to tend to it, we have to care for it, we have to nurture it. And we pray, oh God, that you would help us to do those things, that you would help us to know when we need to be watered, when we need to sit out in the sunshine, when we need to be tended to. We thank you, oh God, for sending us Jesus to help us to do those things. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. Hear now these words. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. When they made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by mortals by which we must be saved." Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson comes from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. Jesus here is teaching his disciples once again. Hear now these words. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, because the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Here ends our gospel lesson. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your holy word as a gift to us. As we reflect upon it this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts so they might be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. The youth pastor sat down in front of the sanctuary and called the children to the front for the children's message portion of the worship service, just like we do here. So when the children were all settled down at the front of the church, the pastor talked to them about the theme for the day, which was the Good Shepherd. So this youth pastor began to talk to the children about sheep. He told them that sheep weren't very smart animals. They needed lots of guidance and care. He said that the shepherd's job was to stay close to the sheep and to keep them from wandering off and doing things that wouldn't be safe for them. He pointed to the children then and said that they were the sheep of this church and that they needed guidance. So the pastor put his hands out to the side and lifted his hands in a dramatic fashion and kind of lifted his eyebrows and said to the children, "If you are the sheep, who is the shepherd?" Obviously indicating himself. But what he got was silence. Several long, very quiet seconds of silence. And then one of the youngsters up at the front said, "I know, Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd." The young pastor was obviously caught off guard by this surprise answer. And so he paused a second and then said to the boy, "Well then, who am I?" The little boy frowned, concentrated, thought about it for a minute or two, and then burst into a big smile and said, "Well, you are the sheepdog." The young pastor learned a valuable lesson. Children know more than you realize. But then anyone in our church could tell you that. Of course, the pastor may have done better if he had just stuck with the scripture passage that there is just one shepherd, the good shepherd. Of course, the pastor could be excused for some extent. Because after all, most of us don't deal with sheep and shepherds very often. I know for me, the only time I ever see a live sheep is when I go to the state fair. And I've never seen a shepherd out in the fields watching the sheep, either day or night. But if sheep are scarce in urbanized America, they were a common sight in ancient Israel. So when Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," he was giving them an image that everyone there listening could understand. And yet he wasn't just drawing upon the visual imagery of shepherds in the neighborhood. He was also drawing upon the rich imagery of shepherds in the Old Testament. When he said, "I am the good shepherd," his listeners would immediately recall passages from the Hebrew Bible, of which the 23rd Psalm was the most obvious. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But there are others that could have come to mind, such as Psalm 80, which includes the verse, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou who leadest Joseph like a flock." Or maybe they might have thought of Isaiah 40 in these words, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms." These are the images that would resonate with Jesus' listeners. And he knew that. He knew that they would understand exactly what Jesus was trying to say when he said, "I am the good shepherd." And yet, even though we are removed from the world of shepherds and sheep, we can resonate with the imagery when Jesus declares, "I am the good shepherd." What is more, even if we aren't sure about shepherds and sheep, Jesus gives us some hints on what he means when he says this in our own passage this morning. First, Jesus tells us that as the good shepherd, Jesus knows us and we know Jesus. So let us stop right here for a moment and take on the full import of that statement. Jesus knows me. Jesus knows who I am, what I am about, what is important to me, what my fears are, what my secrets are. The Good Shepherd knows all this, just as the Good Shepherd knows the peculiarities and the individuality of each and every sheep in his flock. But what does that mean for us? Christian counselor and author Maxie Dunham writes, "I doubt there is a more ravaging problem in our society than insecurity." Maybe he's right. Young people battle with insecurity all the time. Am I popular? Do I fit in? Do other kids like me? But these feelings don't go away as we age. Even as adults, we worry about how we look or whether we will fit in. Many of the events that send people to therapists, such as affairs, drinking problems, and midlife crises, all stem from a deep-seated sense of insecurity. And Dunham writes, "I have a strong hunch, confirmed over and over again in my counseling, that most continuing insecurity is rooted in the lack of assurance of belonging to God." And here is Jesus saying that we belong to Him. "I am the good shepherd." He knows us. He claims us as His own. As Christians, we know this. The problem is we know it, and yet we don't take it to heart. We don't accept it. We don't grab onto it and hold on to it. So I invite you now to pause here for a moment and think about what it would be like for you if you turned over all your insecurities to God. Christian writer Floris Wehrleiner once wrote, "I joined an amateur choir several years ago. Once during rehearsal, the annoyed conductor told us to stop singing. He said, 'You are just cheeping. Open your mouths and sing.' So we sang. Our mistakes were frightful, but he knew he couldn't get anywhere with us until we gave him our voices, mistakes, and all. So we sang with a boldness of his acceptance." And so may it be with you. Let your life sing with the boldness of knowing that God knows you, accepts you, mistakes and all, and wants your life to be as full as it can possibly be. But there is more. The Good Shepherd stays with his sheep, comforting them. During the war in the Middle East a few years ago, Christian missionary Ron Jones wrote, "The result of the fighting and the killing has left a profound sense of discouragement that hovers over the country. Several times we have come into closer contact with this conflict than our comfort zone allowed. Yesterday, a friend shared with us something she observed that was a delightful reminder of God's care for us. She watched as a shepherd caring for his flock near an area where the guns were being fired. Every time the shots rang out, the sheep scattered in fright. The shepherd then touched each of them with his staff and spoke calmly to them, and the sheep settled down immediately because they trusted the shepherd. And then another shot sounded, and the same routine happened again. Each time, the sheep needed the shepherd to orient them and to reassure them that they were safe." Again, pause a moment and think about the power of this image. The next time you feel that you're in the middle of a war, whatever that war might be, the next time fear makes you ready to flee, picture Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calmly touching you, quietly speaking to you. Wouldn't you be able to trust a shepherd like that? But our Good Shepherd does more than just comfort us. Our Good Shepherd, Jesus, tells us that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's a story that I heard a while back that gives a glimpse of this eternal reality. A young man was working in a trench, and the walls of the trench began to cave in. Nearby, another construction worker happened to be the young man's father. saw what was happening and dove into the trench, hovered over his son, and he took the full brunt of the collapsing walls. When the other workers cleared the debris and uncovered them, they found the father had died from the blow on his head, but the son was living. The father's body had kept the dirt off the son and enabled him to breathe until the workers could rescue him. The love of the father for the son, the love of the shepherd for the sheep, the love of the good shepherd for us. Jesus tells us that he lays down his life by his choice for us. And he chose that path for our sake. And God raised him up as a reminder that not even death is the end. This is the love that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is trying to convey to all of us. And I invite you again to pause for a moment and consider the power of that love in your life today. It does make a difference. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith. From Philippians 2, the attitude we should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Singing forevermore.
gracious and loving God, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. We are so thankful for this privilege of being your people in worship, and that we have this chance to honor you. We want to live lives of holiness and purity, and that's why we come before you. We need you, Lord. And we must feel your presence near us, not only now, but in our everyday lives, because we know that we're your people every day, all day. Oh, Lord God, we are still the church in our homes, and when we're doing our business, when we're in the classroom, or in the factory, or in the stores. We want to portray the Spirit of Christ every day. Worshiping every week helps us to make it through the days ahead. And now, Lord, as you look down inside each of us today, we know that you see all the things that are there that no one else can see. And as we each reach out to you, we know that you're already reaching out to us. We pray for forgiveness for those ways that we have failed you. We pray for encouragement and uplift for when we get discouraged. We pray for comfort for those who are sorrowing and sad. We pray for healing and restoration for those with sickness and other difficult life situations. Lord, we're all different, but we all need the assurance of your loving presence, and we thank you that you're always there and we can depend on you. We pray for the communities where we live and work. Help us to be an influence for holiness and help direct our lives, the lives of our community, and the future of this nation, so that we represent and live out the kingdom as you show it to us. Show us how we can bring justice to this world, how we can learn to live with each other and celebrate each other's gifts and build a world that is more like the kingdom you want it to be. Oh Lord God, we pray all this praying that one prayer that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, a reminder that we will go to a hybrid worship service next week. We'll continue to live stream our service, but we will begin limited in-person worship here. And if you would like to come and worship in person, we ask that you make a reservation. You can do that by calling the church office beginning Monday at 9:30 through Thursday at noon. And wherever this week takes you, O Lord, know that the Lord goes with you. And the Lord is there to hold you, bless you, shepherd you, for the good shepherd cares for you now and always. Amen.